fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
They used to tell me I was building a dream with peace and glory ahead. Why should I be standing in line just waiting for bread? Once I built a railroad, made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime?
When we think of mass poverty, bread lines, soup kitchens, shuttered factories, many recall the film images of the Great Depression of the 1930s. But for a shocking number of people in America and here in central Wisconsin, the 1930s are now, and poverty is a way of life for them. One in every 10 people in our state live in poverty, a condition that is closely related to racial disparities and our high rate of incarceration. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Today on Route 51, several interfaith groups have scheduled a poverty summit the afternoon of October 1st at Frame Memorial Presbyterian Church in Stevens Point. The groups are the Wisconsin Council of Churches, Citizen Action of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families, and Wisdom. Many of their members believe that the issue of poverty should be a top priority in this fall's election campaigns. Here to discuss the reasons behind the Poverty Summit and the call to make the eradication of poverty a top political priority, in our studio, Rabbi Dan Danson of Wausau's Mount Sinai Congregation. Also, Joel Lewis, the executive board member of the faith-based social justice group NAOMI. Mr. Lewis is also a member of the Marathon County Board of Supervisors. And joining us by phone from Sun Prairie, we're very happy to have with us Reverend Scott Anderson, who's the executive director of the Wisconsin Council of Churches. And for you, dear listener, what do you think about the continuing problem of chronic poverty in our state? Should it be a priority in this fall's election campaigns, or maybe we should have other priorities? Give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a question on our Facebook page, and I'll read it live on the air. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us. And Scott Anderson, let's start with you. You are holding a poverty summit in Stevens Point on October 1st. Tell us about that.
Well, Glenn, as you mentioned, a number of groups statewide and local have been hosting or will be hosting regional forums around the state. Actually, there are five scheduled from mid-September through the first week of October to raise the issue of poverty with pastors and leaders, rabbis, people who are in congregations throughout the state and wanting to lift up the issue of poverty, particularly for candidates who are running for state and federal office. The religious community has for many decades been deeply involved in helping alleviate poverty. The religious community in Wisconsin, for example, is the largest provider of emergency food to people in need around the state. We are one of the top three providers of emergency housing in Wisconsin. For decades, churches and synagogues and mosques in urban parts of the state have been involved in various kinds of community development efforts to equip people to succeed. So we are well acquainted with the issue of poverty and how it has impacted low-income families in our state. And we think we have a particular perspective on this issue as a result of that work that we want to lift up during the fall election cycle.
And Scott Anderson, the groups, your own group, the Wisconsin Council of Churches, is involved. Also, Citizen Action of Wisconsin. Why are they interested in this summit?
Well, Citizen Action is a research and policy organization that also does some community organizing around the state. And they, along with the Council of Churches, have been very interested, particularly in issues around income disparity, minimum wage issues, and they became a likely partner for us in this work.
Also the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families, what perspective are they bringing to the issue of poverty?
The Wisconsin Council on Children and Families is a nonpartisan policy and research organization based in Madison, and for many decades have provided data, statistics on various measures that help us understand what the dynamics of poverty are in Wisconsin and some policy prescriptions that might be used to address poverty at the state level. And they, again, are a very likely partner in this work.
And finally, you know, of the group sponsoring this poverty summit, and again, it's in Stevens Point, the afternoon of October 1st at Frame Memorial Presbyterian Church. We have Wisdom, which is a coalition of faith-based social justice organizations around Wisconsin. Joel Lewis, let's turn to you now. You're a member of the group Naomi, based in central Wisconsin, and you're part of this umbrella group, Wisdom. Tell us a little bit about that.
Correct. Well, I was raised Catholic, and I paid a lot of attention to the scriptures and the teachings growing up. But I felt like we were always being taught, but I didn't see a lot of action other than, say, maybe soup kitchens and food pantries, that kind of thing. So as I became an adult, I became more and more frustrated with the fact that we were taught these things, but I didn't see a lot of action from folks that seemed to believe it. And when I found out about Naomi, they were fighting for folks to have access to public transportation, for folks to have access to Medicaid. And so I just felt these were folks putting faith into action, and that's how I got involved in their organization.
Now, Naomi was also active in the move to bring mass transit back to the entire Wausau area. And this was a campaign in which you actually got a referendum issue on the ballot in the village of Weston. And that was pretty controversial. A number of the pastors and religious leaders who were involved in that got a lot of negative response from their own congregations. Isn't this kind of a fine line that they have to tread sometimes when they try as religious leaders to enter the political world?
I think it is, but I think they also see the effects of poverty through the work they do and the community action that they do. So I believe that they know it's a need, they know it's important, and maybe the folks that are giving them flack don't see the need or the importance.
Rabbi Dan Danson, you've been involved in Naomi through your work at Mount Sinai. Why do you think this poverty summit is important on October 1st?
Well, I think what's so important to us is, at this time of the year, is that we have the election and we want this to be part of the conversation. Candidates, when we talk to political leaders, they often say to us, you may have an issue that you're concerned about. We even see that it's an important issue, but we're not hearing from voters. We're not hearing from constituents. And so what we want to do is we think there is concern out there about poverty, and we want to have this summit so that that people are aware of how deep the issue is, how deep the problem is, and to be raising the issue and asking candidates who are running for office, what's your policy? What do you hope to do about it? What do you think you can bring to the table to address this really critical issue?
How do you raise those questions in a nonpartisan way? Everything is partisan right now in our world, it seems.
Sure, sure. And you know, I mean, to be blunt, poverty programs have been favored more. Active poverty programs have been more part of Democratic platforms than they've been part of Republican platforms in the last couple of decades. So the question is, what makes this nonpartisan? Because we certainly respect the people vote different ways. They see different public policy options. And we for sure are not telling people to vote for this candidate or vote for that candidate. So I think what we're saying to people is that we know people on all sides of the political spectrum care about this issue. And you can see that Paul Ryan from Janesville has brought forward a platform addressing this on a national level. Some people like it, some people don't, but I think that's been a response that there is a voice out there that's saying we need to talk about it. We need to come up with policies. We need to have an active debate about where to go on this.
Scott Anderson, the first of these regional summits was held in Milwaukee. I believe it was back in June.
Yes, that's correct.
Tell us what the biggest developments or the best things that came out of that particular summit. I understand you got 150 people attending.
Yeah, we had 150 local religious leaders at Marquette University on June 4th. And one of the surprises out of that event, I think people who came were shocked at the statistics in Wisconsin. As you mentioned at the top of the show, Glenn, that 1 in 10 of us live in poverty. The fastest growing group in Wisconsin who is impoverished are children. Has grown 12% in the last few years. And I think there was just shock and dismay that we haven't made more progress on this concern than we have. The second thing that came out of that was some energy about developing a statewide letter or statement from religious leaders throughout the state that would be delivered to candidates. It's a statement called Faithful Citizenship, a response to the scandal of poverty in Wisconsin. And the group that met in Milwaukee sort of developed that text, and it's been circulated and improved, and it will be released to the press in early October, and we hope up to 5,000 local pastors and lay leaders, rabbis, imams, other local leaders from the religious community will join us in lifting this issue to candidates in the fall.
Well, I hope I'm not jumping the gun because I've seen a copy of that already.
Sure, good.
And you're trying to get 5,000 signatures. How many have you gotten so far?
I think we're closing in on 1,000, and we've got about 3 weeks to go.
And Scott Anderson, poverty, you had the event at Marquette University in Milwaukee. You're having another one in Stevens Point. Is poverty fundamentally different in Milwaukee than it is in Stevens Point? What are the differences? What are the similarities?
Well, poverty is present in both locations. I think that's the similarity. The depth of need may vary. I think in Milwaukee, for example, one in four people in the city of Milwaukee live in poverty, which is, you know, really the most dire set of statistics anywhere in the state. And there are a lot of reasons for that. But I think one of the surprises in the last decade is the growing reality of rural poverty in central and northern Wisconsin. Just anecdotally, I've been surprised at the number of small communities who dot northern Wisconsin that have never had an emergency food pantry. All of a sudden, there's a growing need, and the churches in those areas have come together to voluntarily form a food pantry to serve those in the community. Jobs have been outsourced. Company towns have seen have seen companies leave their town. A number of counties in Wisconsin are in the process of being depopulated, actually losing population. And so there's kind of a downward spiral in a number of central and northern Wisconsin counties that have created the issue of poverty that hasn't been there in the same sort of way in decades past.
Well, we've had a situation right here in central Wisconsin, Joel Lewis, in Brokaw, where the Wausau Paper Company, after being the sole employer, employing hundreds of people, they're out of business. The village of Brokaw right now is bankrupt. They don't know what they're going to do with all of this debt because the paper mill is no longer there to pay the taxes. The social service budget is strapped. So you've got situations, Joel Lewis, where poverty is becoming an increasing concern in central Wisconsin.
Right, and what's even scarier about this is, you know, folks that were working at places like the paper mill, or you've got S&E more recently, were making a living wage, and they had enough money to provide for themselves and potentially a small family and have health care benefits and dental and all of that. So not only is this community completely strapped, but then all these folks that have lost their jobs, you know, where are the jobs to replace those wages? Where are the jobs to replace those benefits? Most of the jobs out there now are service industry in our area, and we're not seeing very good wages. So that's a concern to me, too. So, you know, even the folks that are working are still in poverty.
And Dan Danson, this is something that affects people in the entire region, not just the people who happen to work in the paper mill who lost their jobs.
Right. And when we've gotten pastors together here in Wausau to talk about issues of social concern, the issue that came up for us was poverty. That the pastors are really, you know, we feel it by the requests for emergency relief from our funds. We see it in the use of food pantries. We see it in our members who, with the kind of education they had 20 years ago, would have been making a very different income than they're making today. So we can kind of taste this around us, that it's a real presence in our communities, and it touches back to what Joel said, is that the trouble is that there aren't enough jobs paying living wages for all the people who really want to get up in the morning, go to that job, and work hard.
Scott Anderson, is the concern of poverty something that's spread equally among all the Christian denominations in Wisconsin, or are some of the more conservative denominations more concerned about social issues like abortion and gay marriage? Is this something that only affects certain congregations and not others?
I think the issue of poverty transcends a lot of the divisions, traditional divisions, in the religious community, and not only in the Christian community, but I'm speaking more broadly in the interfaith community in Wisconsin. I think you're seeing a growing number of conservative evangelical religious leaders, particularly younger pastors, who have a real passion around this issue. They read the scriptures. They see the clear imperatives from Jesus. Whatever you do to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you do to me. And there's an energy to address the immediate concerns in local communities. So I see poverty as a transcendent issue that cuts through some of those traditional divisions.
We have a statistic that just was published in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning from the Census Bureau in Wisconsin. Four out of every single mother households, four out of every 10 single mother households in Wisconsin with children under age 18 had been living in poverty in 2013, and the state's 42.5% figure is up from 39.4% in 2012, and that's an increase that the Census Bureau flagged as statistically significant. Scott Anderson, your reaction to that?
Well, I think some of that's happening because of the reasons that Dan and Joel mentioned earlier, the changing economic landscape, not only in Wisconsin, but in the entire nation. And I think it's important to realize that the so-called recovery that is underway after the Great Recession of 2008-2009 has really only benefited a few people at the top of the socioeconomic ladder. There are many people who are still unemployed. There are many more who are underemployed. There are many people who have just given up looking for a job and are living with family, extended family, or friends because there just aren't jobs available that pay a livable wage. And so I think all of those factors conspire to create this problem on a long-term basis. It used to be, particularly following World War II, that there was a kind of poverty was a cyclic issue where when the economy did well, poverty rates would go down. When the economy went into a recession, poverty rates would come up. But what we're seeing now is it really doesn't matter about the cycle of the economy. Poverty rates continue to grow because people in the middle and the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder just aren't doing well.
If you just joined us, we're talking about a poverty summit being held by the Wisconsin Council of Churches and a number of other groups October 1st in Stevens Point. This is one of five being held around the state. And the goal is to get politicians talking about the problem of poverty in this election year. 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to Mark, who's on the road to Madison. Mark, you're on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My comment is simply that, you know, if we looking at using food as a metaphor, if we had a very small segment of our population that was hoarding food to the detriment of the vast majority, we would very quickly address the issue through our legislation, you know, passing laws that say you can't do that, and we'd hold people accountable. When in essence, that's exactly what we're doing with money. Money is a finite quantity, and we are allowing a very few, that 0.1%, to hoard large amounts of money that you know, basically, you know, are to the detriment of our society at large. And I think that issue has to be addressed in one way or another. I'll listen to your comments off the line. Okay?
Mark, thanks so much for the phone call. Joel Lewis, I see you nodding your head in agreement.
Well, yeah, I think that the answer to that is, the folks with the money have a lot of most of the influence over our elected officials. But the fact is there's more of us working class and middle class folks out there than there are of those making wealthy contributions. So if we all unite and are active in our government, I believe we can really affect change.
Dan Danson, we heard Scott Anderson talk mm-hmm. about the growing inequality problem. I believe something like the top 400 people in the United States own as much wealth as the bottom half of the country, 150 million, and that was certainly a subject from Mark and Madison.
Right. One of the things that we, you know, sort of pick up on Mark's comment is that in Jewish tradition we talk about charity. The word for charity is actually tzedakah, which means righteousness or justice. And what we're really looking at here is that it doesn't do us well to have an enormous amount of wealth in a society, but have people not be able to live in dignity. And it's really a question of justice. And that's the religious call to us. And part of the religious call that I think we're looking at this summit is, as Joel mentioned, is to get people in the conversation. That we're trying to say that you need to be talking to people who are poor. You need to be listening to their needs. You need to be hearing what they're experiencing, and having that voice is part of that governmental process and discussion. It's a critical thing.
If you just joined us, our guest today, Rabbi Dan Danson of the Mount Sinai Congregation, Joel Lewis of the Central Wisconsin Social Justice Group, NAOMI, and the Reverend Scott Anderson, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Council of Churches, who's joining us from Sun Prairie. Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-780-9742. Chris in Wisconsin Dells, you're on Route 51.
Good morning. The first thing I want to say is God bless you all for what you do. If it hadn't been for the faith-based community in four different cities in the state of Wisconsin, I'd be dead. I'm living on disability. I'm living at 60% of the federal poverty level. I would like somebody to explain to me how you are supposed to do that. And I'd like to have three issues addressed. The first is the food stamps crap that Scott Walker put in the state budget. My food stamps already got reduced by a third in the past couple of months. And now they're talking about reducing it more. And we're one of only four states in the country that this is happening in. I get a cost of living increase that is really minimal every year from my Social Security, and they take it out of my food stamps. So, in essence, I get no money. Then I want you to address the issue of police harassment. I have been harassed by the police. Once you fall off the edge of the planet financially, for some reason the police think that they get to just come into your life and harass you as much as possible. And then I wanted you to also discuss the issue of the lousy social services in many counties in the state. I've witnessed some stuff that is just outrageous. It's discriminatory and outrageous. And if you want me to hang on the phone and talk to me, I'll stay on the phone. Otherwise, I can get off and you can just address this.
Well, Chris, we've got other callers lining up, so why don't you listen off the air, and I'm going to have all three of our guests address those issues. And Scott Anderson, what do you want to take out of that menu of three concerns that she's brought up?
Yeah, well, the food stamp issue is a very real issue, and we've seen both at the state and federal levels some cutbacks in food stamps, which is a critical safety net program for low-income individuals in Wisconsin. And that will be an issue that the Wisconsin Council of Churches and others in the religious community will be addressing, particularly after the November election, as both the state legislature in Madison and Congress in Washington began to work on budgets for the following year. And food stamps are going to be a big issue in both of those debates.
How do you react to the governor's proposal requiring drug tests of people seeking unemployment assistance and food stamps? The governor says it's an act of compassion, not an attempt to make it harder for people needing help. He says it's not about making it hard to get government assistance. It's about making it easier to get a job.
Well, I think it's going to have the opposite effect. I think it's going to be a disincentive for people who need help to apply. And I think it's a completely unnecessary provision. And I think it's going to be harmful in the long term. People who are in financial straits are already in a vulnerable position, and this sort of harshness will discourage people from applying. And I frankly think that's one of the intents of what the governor hopes to happen, is that this will discourage more people from staying away from applying from services they need and are qualified for.
Joel Lewis?
I think that as we're cutting food stamps and public education and public transportation, I don't understand how we can spend money on these drug tests. Also, when you look across other states in the country, they don't seem to be catching a significant amount of people. And I do believe people would probably just spend extra money to try to pass these tests.
And Dan Danson, the tests have been challenged by the Justice Department and struck down in a number of states where they've been attempted, such as Florida.
Well, I think addiction is you know, addiction is an issue across all classes of society. So I think it to single out one group and say that for you there's this bar where any connection to addiction issues is disqualifies you for is a kind of level of test that I don't think I mean we pastors know that that if we apply that across society there'd be a lot of people caught in the net and I think the answer to addiction is programs to help people get off and to do that voluntarily and it has to be self-motivation and I suspect that there's not a pool of people who are trying to qualify for programs who are larger than a pool elsewhere in
well,
society.
Maybe if we're going to have drug tests for people who accept taxpayer dollars, we should have them for corporations that get grants and their board of directors and their CEOs, maybe all the people I work with at the University of Wisconsin. How about politicians?
Well,
the governor on down, anybody sure. who's elected gets taxpayer dollars.
Sure, and this might get us too far off the topic, but what I would say, I think what we know about addiction is that getting oneself becoming clean, as it were, if you're addicted, is all about motivation and support and a whole set of other things, and that this is just not the way to address the issue, and it's an issue that something else that Wisdom and Naomi have been working on, but to connect it so tightly to that, I think, is just to really wander down the wrong road.
Scott Anderson, if you could address one of the other things that Chris brought up, the fact that poor people are often harassed by the police, by authorities. Is that something that you've seen as a pastor?
I have not seen that personally, but I've heard stories like Chris's about this anecdotally. So I think it is a reality. I don't know to what extent it's a reality.
And what about the problem she brought up regarding the social services that are available in counties across the state?
Well, I do think there is a disparity in service provision between wealthier, more urbanized counties and smaller rural counties that are having significant problems economically. And I have heard, again, anecdotally have heard about, particularly in rural communities in central northern Wisconsin, where it's been very difficult for people to access services, and services have diminished over the last couple of decades. Again, it's a function of a kind of downward spiral of the economy and fewer tax dollars being available to the public sector to provide the kinds of services that people need.
Scott Anderson, he is the executive director of the Wisconsin Council of Churches, Joel Lewis of the social justice group Naomi, and Rabbi Dan Danson of the Mount Sinai congregation. They're going to be participating in a poverty summit, one of five around the state, October 1st, the afternoon of October 1st, at Frame Memorial Presbyterian Church in Stevens Point. I'm Glenn Moberg on Route 51 today. Should politicians be talking about poverty this election season? 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. Ray and Rhinelander, hang on. We'll be back with you right after this short break.
The place that I lived in was on a street that happened to be one of the dead-end streets, where there was nothing to block the wind, the elements, nothing to buffer them for me, to keep them from knocking my bed down, Jim. They say this is a big, rich town, but I live in the poorest part. I know I'm on a dead-end street in a city without a heart.
When you listen to WPR, you're enjoying the results of member support. The 50,000 individuals and families who donate help make this unique service possible. They pay for outstanding news coverage, great music, and so much more every day.
In my pocket, not one penny, and my friends, I haven't any. But if I ever get on my feet again, then I'll meet my is mighty strange. Without a doubt, nobody knows you when you down and out.
That's Bessie Smith singing the Depression era anthem, Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out. But for many Americans, many right here in central Wisconsin, the Depression, the 1930s, are now. A staggering 1 out of 10 people living in poverty, close to 50% of single women with children, according to census figures just released today. There's a poverty summit taking place on October 1st at Frame Memorial Presbyterian Church in Stevens Point, sponsored by a number of groups with the intention of getting politicians talking about poverty this election season. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Our guests, Scott Anderson, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Council of Churches, Joel Lewis of the Central Wisconsin Social Justice Group, Naomi, and Rabbi Dan Danson of the Mount Sinai Congregation, 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to join the conversation, that's 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to Ray in Rhinelander. Ray, you're on Route 51.
Well, I want to thank your guests for being on and addressing these issues. Nobody can have their head in the sand anymore. This is a reality no matter what state you live in, where you live, and very open in the rural areas. All right, my whole thing and take on this is people need to see that the reality of having hope for their future. Now, with that adds opportunities to improve your life. Now, what does that mean? Of course, better job, better educations. So it's all about the math. We used to make so many things in Wisconsin. We made everything here, clothing, machinery, food, clothing, sports equipment. I can go on and on and on. The fact remains is the math says those opportunities aren't there anymore. Oh, they're there, but what's the percentage? Maybe 10, 15% on the overall? So what can we do to help people? Okay. They're trying to get a better education. They come out of school, they're more in depth. You know, a person goes for a business administration master's and ends up running a Kentucky Fried Chicken. What's wrong with this picture?
So, Ray, we got it. Let me have our guests respond. Scott Anderson, your response to what Ray just brought up.
Well, I think Ray is right. We've seen the manufacturing base in Wisconsin slowly dry up over the last couple decades. Some of it's been outsourced overseas, and some of it has left for other states for various reasons. And I think this is a community development question that rural counties are going to have to contend with, and Joel may have more to say about that for Marathon County. But how do we attract good-paying jobs to central and northern Wisconsin, jobs that have left, middle-class jobs? And I think that's going to be one of the biggest issues on the plate of the public sector in the coming generation.
Joel Lewis, you're the only elected person out of this impromptu panel we've got going. You're on the Marathon County Board of Supervisors. What do your fellow elected supervisors think that they can do on a county level, or maybe people can do on a state or federal level about this problem of jobs?
I think at the county level, you know, advisory referendums aren't horribly popular here in Marathon County, and that's about the only thing they could do is ask the local voters how they feel about this issue. But it's not popular. So I think we do kind of have to rely on state and federal elected officials to do something about the problem. Obviously, with the federal minimum wage of $7.25 and an economic system that drives industry to want to make as many profits as possible, they're not going to pay much above that if they don't have to. And I think that's really part of the issue for those that are working, at least, is that employers don't have an incentive to pay higher wages.
Dan Danson, some will tell you that poverty has been with us since the dawn of human history. It's a pervasive problem. It's always been a pervasive problem. Why do you think we can change it now?
Well, I don't know if we can change it, but we can address it. And I think that's one of the things that the scriptures teach us is that when you look over, at least I'll speak from Jewish tradition, you look through the thousands of years of our sacred scripture, you see this issue being raised again and again and again. And it's raised in a way that says you can't ignore it. You have to address it. And in Jewish scripture, it especially talks about not just, clearly it talks about giving money to people in need, But it also talks about giving loans to people, partnering with people, teaching people how to do a job. It has this whole thing about creating independence. So why now? Because you never give up hope, because you never stop working towards it, because the call is always there to religious communities to roll up your sleeves and get back into the issue.
Well, the old adage, if you give a man a fish, he'll eat for a day, teach him to fish, and he'll eat for a lifetime. But isn't the theme of that the idea that the solution lies in individual responsibility instead of government welfare?
No.
So it isn't.
All right. This is where I get to read my sacred text. this is from a medieval commentator, Maimonides. The highest form of charity is to step in with help to prevent a person from becoming poor. This includes offering a loan or employment, investing in a business, or any other form of assistance that will avoid poverty. The basis for this principle is the commandment in our passage, you shall strengthen the poor. This is a community coming together, that we don't live as atoms apart from each other. We have to keep looking for ways to pool our resources, to partner together to really lift all ourselves up. And that no one, it's great to have a business. It's great to employ people. That's a critical thing. It's a critical commitment to the community. But, your job doesn't end at taking profits. It also is a part of being part of that community and looking for ways that with your resources and partnering with people's skills, you can really lift up the way a community lives.
Conservative critics will say that Lyndon Johnson's Great Society War on Poverty was a failure. And they'll tell you that when the government steps in and tries to do something, they invariably make it worse. Joel Lewis, how do you respond to that?
Well, I think every time that we've succeeded as a country in fighting these injustices, people get comfortable and kind of go home and forget about it. They get less active in government. And then we kind of go right back to the same thing. The same kind of corruption happens. The people that are making profits control too much of the situation.
And this is where you give your ad for the earned tax credit. You know, that's a government program. So you go to work and then, you know, at the end of the year when you're doing it, your taxes, if you have if your wage qualifies to be part of that program, you get a stipend back from the government. It's been a tremendously effective program. It's a government program that partners with people who are working to help give them, if not a living wage, at least something better than they would have had without the program. So that's an example of good government poverty fighting programs.
Scott Anderson, your perspective on this tension between individual responsibility and government assistance.
Well, I think it's a combination of both. There, of course, we have individual responsibility, but as our other speakers have said, this is not just an individual issue. We are all connected to one another. We all have responsibility for one another. That's at the root of a number of the major religious traditions that are part of this effort this fall. I might, respond also to the issue of conservative critics that you raised, Glenn. And I think we need to remind ourselves that the war on poverty that Lyndon Johnson started in 1964, and we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of that war this year, there was some success out of that. One of those successes was food stamps. And we need to remember that food stamps was signed into law in the early 70s by Republican President Richard Nixon. So there was a time in this country when meeting the needs of low-income families was not a partisan issue in the same way it is today. And I think we need to do what we can to get back to those central values of care for our neighbor that transcend these partisan divisions and see what common ground we can find across party lines to move forward.
Do you think Governor Walker should have accepted the Medicaid expansion money?
Absolutely. I think that was probably, in our view, one of the biggest mistakes of his term of office. And there will be long-term consequences for that economically for low-income families in the state that we can't even imagine right now.
Well, this is what the governor said. He said, Medicaid should not be a permanent way of life, and our goal in government should not be how many more people we can get on these programs. Our goal should be the opposite. How many people can we get off of them? Because we've empowered them to control their own lives, control their own destiny, and move themselves and their families forward. And he actually argued that his choice to not accept the federal money was a moral choice. He said the expansion of Medicaid is immoral. Here's his quote again. From a moral standpoint, are we really doing the people of this state a service if we continue to build a series of programs whose overwhelming purpose is to add more people to the system? I think the moral claim here is we want people to succeed. Dan Danson?
Well, we absolutely want people to succeed, but they also need to have a support under them that lets them move forward. And, you know, I'm going to echo Scott's words, and it's not to attack the governor or to do anything like that, but just to say that I don't think having, if you're in a job that doesn't provide health insurance, I don't think having health insurance provided by the state is something that's going to make you a less motivated, less seeking a better life, less working for your family person, less wanting to be part of your community. I think you're going to get up in the morning and go, that's one less thing on my back that I can go to my job and focus on what I'm doing. I can concentrate on what my kids' needs are. I can throw my energy into something that's going on with my school or with the sports team or with my church or synagogue. So I don't think it creates dependence. I think it creates self-sufficiency.
Joe Lewis, we're going to let you weigh in, and then we've got to take another quick break.
Well, yeah, I think, again, I hate to keep coming back to this issue, but a lot of the folks that were kicked off of VadgerCare as a result of this decision are our minimum age, you know, workers that can't afford the marketplace because it wasn't designed for their wage. That's why we were offered these Medicaid dollars. So I guess in my mind, we have a significant amount of people across the state now that have no access to health care. It's costing counties money because they're going to places like North Central Healthcare and other facilities, but don't have any way to pay for it. So someone's going to pay for that eventually, and it just makes sense to use a program that is effective instead.
Joe Lewis of the Central Wisconsin Social Justice Group, NAOMI, Rabbi Dan Danson of the Mount Sinai Congregation in Wausau, and the Reverend Scott Anderson, calling us from Sun Prairie. He is the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Council of Churches, all of them involved in a poverty summit that takes place October 1st, that afternoon, at Frame Memorial Presbyterian Church in Stevens Point. Their goal is to get politicians talking about poverty this election year. What do you think? Should poverty, the issue of poverty, be a priority in this year's elections, or is it something that government should stay away from? 1-800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrick. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio.
Go and do an all-night cafe. Grab somebody's dirty old cup. Walk right up to the hot water boiler and fill that sucker up. Then you add some ketchup, salt and Tabasco. Sure smells good to me. Then slurpity slurp, you suck it up. It's warm and it's free. Oh, warm and free, warm and free. That's all it takes to get a hold on me. Warm and free.
Support for WPR comes from the state of Wisconsin, the federal government, businesses, and the single largest piece of the budget comes from the 50,000 individuals and families who make contributions. Thank you to everyone who makes WPR possible.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known. Don't know where it goes, but it's only me.
We listen to Green Day's anthem, Boulevard of Broken Dreams. Many people walk alone on those empty streets. People who are stricken by poverty, 1 out of every 10 in the state of Wisconsin. About 44% of single women with children, according to figures released by the U.S. Census. And our discussion topic today on Route 51, should poverty be an issue in this political year as we head toward the November 4th elections? I want to read from the letter that's being circulated by the Wisconsin Council of Churches and these other groups. In this election year, it says, we encourage all people of faith to make poverty a priority issue when they vote. We encourage faith communities to question those who would lead us about their plans to provide real concrete help and opportunity for the poor, especially the children. We cannot consider only our own narrow self-interest when we engage in politics or business. Every decision must be evaluated according to the effect it will have on those in poverty today and in the future. Scott Anderson, how do you walk that thin line between advocacy for the poor and political advocacy, which, of course, could cause a church to lose its tax-exempt status?
Well, I don't think advocacy on behalf of the poor is a partisan political issue. It's an issue that transcends party. And I think it's important to realize that most congregations in Wisconsin, Christian, Jewish, and otherwise, have a mix of Democrats and Republicans who are part of those congregations. And they are drawn together by virtue of their faith, not because of their partisan political affiliation. And so the religious community acts out of that sort of bipartisan impulse that characterizes who we are as people of faith. And the reality is the Internal Revenue Service gives religious communities and all tax-exempt nonprofits the ability to advocate for specific issues, the ability to hold a candidate forum where all the candidates from all the parties are invited to come and share their views on a variety of issues. There are lots of things within the law that congregations can do that are appropriate and, frankly, we believe are morally necessary.
I want to squeeze in one more call. We're running out of time here, but we want to get Kathy from Lake Tomahawk on the air. Kathy, you're on Route 51.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have worked many jobs over the years, and I currently picked up another job. And because I work hard, I did lose my medical kid, and it is a hardship, and I can't afford the workplace. Is there a way politicians will be forced to deal with this issue? I just don't see it.
Joel Lewis, let's go to you, then Rabbi Dan Danson, and then a final word from Scott Anderson. Joel?
I think a lot of it comes down to getting candidates in November into office who support expanding Medicaid for that particular issue. But it is an essential issue for our state, and I think if you look into the candidates out there, they're pretty vocal about whether they support it or don't.
Dan Danson?
Well, I think, I can certainly, Kathy, of course, is walking the walk and, you know, experiencing those challenges. So I'm certainly understand why she's, you know, feeling, you know, a sense that there isn't hope. What we hope to do at this poverty summit is create a kind of awareness and energy that will get people ringing asking in candidate forums about this issue. And candidates change their minds, parties change their minds. But if we don't hit critical mass, if they're not hearing from us, nothing will change. So that's our challenge.
Scott Anderson, you've got about 30 seconds here for the final word.
Oh, I think Kathy is right, and this is a priority for the religious community, and the degree to which we get involved and make our voices heard will determine the outcome of hopefully a number of elections around the state.
Thank you very much, all three of you, for being with us today.
Hey, help the poor. Won't you help poor?
We want to thank today's guests, the Reverend Scott Anderson, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Council of Churches, Rabbi Dan Danson of Wausau's Mount Sinai Congregation, and Joel Lewis, the Executive Board Member of the faith-based social justice group NAOMI. A reminder that the Poverty Summit takes place on October 1st from 1 to 4 p.m. at Frame Memorial Presbyterian Church, 133 Main Street, Stevens Point. The event sponsored by the Wisconsin Council of Churches, Citizen Action of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families, and Wisdom, the Coalition of Wisconsin's congregation-based community organization groups. And you can find out more at the Wisconsin Council of Churches websites. That's wichurches.org. Click on the Combating Poverty link. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by Rudy Valley, Lou Rawls, Bessie Smith, Bobby Bear, Green Day, and B.B. King and Eric Clapton.
You are my inspiration.
Next week on Route 51, we have an election forum featuring the candidates of the 87th Assembly District. Remember to follow us on Facebook if you missed part of this broadcast. We will repeat it in its entirety Friday evening at 7 on 90.9 FM Wausau. You can download it at wpr.org/route51. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.
Won't you, baby, listen to my plea.